No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach, Celia Imrie, and Angela Thorne. Episode 2. Excess Baggage.
I find it odd that I haven't heard from either Victoria or Charlotte since the evening of the private view.
Thank your lucky stars, Anna. They only upset you when you do hear from them.
True.
Now you've got me, you don't have to be continually worrying about your sisters. They're just baggage from your past that you carry with you.
Oh, and don't you carry any baggage with you, Stuart?
No.
I mean, you told me you were married.
Well, I still am married, technically, but that's long gone. It didn't take, and the marriage was over so quickly it hardly touched the sides. Claudia was the wrong woman for me. Now I've met you, I realise just how wrong for me she was.
Oh. When did you last see her?
Oh, 5 years ago, I suppose.
She got someone else?
I would assume so. Claudia was never the kind of woman to deprive herself of masculine company. A lot of masculine company. Which was another of the reasons she was wrong for me. Apart, that is, from her total lack of interest in my antiques business, in my ambitions as a painter. In fact, anything else about me you care to mention?
Even your body?
Particularly my body. No, we both made a mistake, and we're both well shot of it. Unfortunately, not even now in the same continent.
Where is she then?
New Zealand. She's a biochemist, got some fancy academic post at the University of Auckland, studying serial propagation, I believe.
So she's completely out of your system.
We'll never meet again. Go on. How many times before today have you heard me even mention her name?
About twice.
See? Claudia was just an unfortunate blip on the screen of my life.
But apart from her, isn't there any other baggage in your past?
No. The airline mislaid it. I want to take you to Venice, Anna.
Why, is that where your baggage ended up?
No, I just want to take you there. I want to show you Venice.
I have seen Venice before, you know.
Not with me, you haven't.
True.
With me, it'll be a totally different experience. Say you'll come.
Stuart, you've taught me into it.
Well, I think it's pretty selfish, Anna planning to just swan off to Venice without so much as a by your leave.
But whose leave should you be asking? Anna's a free agent. She's no longer working. She and Stuart are madly in love. We should be very happy for them.
Oh, yes, of course I am. Delighted for them. I just think it's a bit selfish for Anna to swan off to Venice when I'm stuck at home working.
Are you working, Charlotte? You didn't tell me.
No, not actually working as such. But an actress has to live in a perpetual state of being ready to work, you know, in case something comes up. One has to keep one's skills permanently honed. It's very stressful.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
And then there's Giselle to think of.
But Giselle's hardly ever here these days.
The stresses of being a parent don't stop just because your child's not there.
No. Funny, if Roger hadn't met Stuart by chance at Waterloo the other day, we wouldn't even know about their Venice trip. Anna hasn't called you, has she?
Not since the evening of that ghastly private view. How about you?
No, she hasn't called me either.
Bit odd, isn't it? Usually she's on the phone every other day, whittering on about something or other.
Yes. I almost miss her calls.
No, I don't. Merciful release, actually. I mean, Anna's my sister, so of course I adore her to tiny little bits, but she does go on a bit. And always about the same things.
Now, what kind of things?
Oh, why I should phone you, apologise for the latest argument we've had.
Yes. Anna keeps telling me to do the same to you.
And I always think it's a bit rich, because whatever the argument was about, it's always you who started it.
Oh, now, Charlotte, I'm sorry, but I cannot allow you to get away with that. I have always been the soul of forbearance, and it's only because you were a spoilt little brat from the moment you were born.
I was not spoilt. Being the third one, I was neglected, which is why I've always had to fight so much harder.
Stop.
What?
Before we get involved in another argument, I would like to make an observation.
What?
You and I ended up having an argument at Stuart's private view.
Hardly surprising the way you were sniping.
Yeah, well, forget the rights and wrongs of it for a moment. We had an argument, and normally what happens after we've had an argument is that Anna phones each of us, or meets each of us, and somehow forces us to make concessions. And we end up talking to each other again.
Yes, though I'm always expected to make much bigger concessions.
Shh. But what's happened this time is that without any intervention from Anna, we have spontaneously phoned each other and made it up.
Well, only to the point...
But don't you realise what this means? We don't need Anna. She's got Stuart, she's fine, she's sorted, and you and I are capable of organising our own sibling relationship in a mature and adult fashion.
Yes, you're right. We have sorted it out between us.
Yes, we certainly have. Of course, it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't taken the first step of ringing you.
I like that. So you get the credit for this, don't you?
Well, obviously I engineered the rapprochement.
This is so typical of you, Victoria. Whatever happened in our family, it was always you who got the glory.
Oh, Charlotte, that just is not true.
Yes, it is. It was my idea to give Anna her first bra for her 13th birthday, and you pretended it was yours.
I thought it was my idea. And that was directly after you claimed you'd thought of giving Mummy breakfast in bed on Mothering Sunday.
Now, that was my idea.
It was not. And I didn't notice you helping much with cooking the scrambled eggs.
I didn't know how to cook scrambled egg. I was too
Nor
little.
Nor did you give me any help with the washing up, and that scrambled egg pan was really encrusted.
So how was Charlotte?
I'm not speaking to Charlotte.
Oh. But I thought you'd engineered this great burying of the hatchet ceremony.
I had. But Charlotte is just so unreasonable that the hatchet is still very definitely above ground.
Oh.
And somebody is in serious danger of getting scalped by it.
Ah, there you are, love.
Oh, thank you. Hmm. Oh, well, how was your day?
Oh, you know.
Yes. After all these years, I think I do.
I'm going to have to go to this conference in Harrogate in a couple of weeks.
What conference?
A food conference.
Well, I know that. You work in the food industry. You're hardly going to be going to a conference about ceramic sanitary ware, are you?
No need to bite my head off. It's a conference about genetically modified food.
Ah.
Most important issue in the food business at the moment.
Yes, well, you only have to read the papers.
So Harrogate will be full of experts flown in from all over the world. Internationally renowned scientists, the best brains in the industry, will be giving a comprehensive series of lectures and seminars on the most burningly pertinent issues of the day.
And will you go to any of these lectures and seminars?
Oh, of course I won't, Victoria. You ought to know by now. A conference is just an excuse for a lot of slap-up meals on the old expense account. Some pretty serious drinking and, well,
and what?
I was going to say, and some extramarital nookie.
Were you?
For the younger ones. You'd be amazed at some of the things that have gone on at conferences. I mean, very stupid and irresponsible things, of course.
Of course. Roger, you've never...
No. That's not for me. Far too tired.
Yes, I'd noticed.
Of course, there was a time when,
When what?
Well, when I'd watch all my colleagues getting themselves into the most dreadfully complex emotional situations, and I'd think, you idiot, why on earth do you do it? I really feel sorry for you not being completely satisfied in your marriage, not having someone secure and understanding like Victoria to come home to.
Ah, right.
Hmm.
You and I have never talked much about sex, have we, Roger?
Oh. No, well, some things are private, aren't they?
Oh, I agree, but not private between the participants, surely.
Well, no, obviously not. And when there is something of a sexual nature to talk about, then we talk about it. It just happens that there hasn't been much of a sexual nature to talk about recently.
No, there hasn't, has there?
It's quite a relief, really, when one gets to the stage where one no longer spends every minute worrying that one's spouse is out having it off with someone else.
And have you reached that stage, Roger?
Well, no, good Lord, no. I was talking in, you know, general terms.
But did you ever worry that I was out having it off with someone else?
No. I said one, not I. Again, I was talking in general terms. Good Lord, the idea of you having it off with someone else is unimaginable.
Thank you, Roger.
All I was saying was that it's a relief. Well, it will be a relief when one gets to the point of not fancying everything in a skirt. It's good for a marriage, I'd have thought, when the old roving eye loses interest in other women.
Yes, so long, of course, as the old roving eye doesn't lose interest in the wife as well.
Oh, no, that would be awful.
Well, now we're talking about sex, Roger.
Yes, we are, aren't we? Frankly, maturely, sensibly, with no evasion.
Mm. And I haven't been able to help observing that recently we haven't had much to talk about.
Much what?
Much sex.
Ah.
I'm saying, Roger, that you and I haven't had much sex recently, and I think we should talk about it. Frankly, maturely, sensibly, with no evasions.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Good Lord, is that the time? Sorry, Mustache, the golf coverage is just starting.
Oh. I wonder wonder if I could get you genetically modified, Roger.
Why meet up with your wretched sisters before we go to Venice? It'll only make you grumpy. Relax. Just relax, relax, relax.
Okay, I know what you're saying, Stuart. Family. One does the oddest things in the name of family.
Like spending a huge proportion of one's life in the company of people one can't stand.
Yeah, all right, maybe, but...
No, I do know what you mean. When it comes to family, all logic flies out of the window. OK, if you could... could you take the pose again? Yeah. Yes, that's good. In fact, I've got one of these daft family things going on at the moment. I have to go and see this cousin in Somerset at some point, Gordon, about my late aunt's estate. Well, hardly her estate. It's about one particular stuffed albatross that she left me in her will. I don't want the wretched thing, but Gordon thinks I'm only saying that to be gentlemanly. The result of this square dance of middle-class sensibilities is that I'll have to go and see him face-to-face to convince him that I really do hate the sight of the thing. So I fully understand how you feel about your two albatrosses.
Oh, that's a bit harsh on Victoria and Charlotte.
No, it's not. Those two sisters of yours have been dead weights round your neck from the moment they were born.
Well...
Yes, they have. I tell you what, we'll do a deal. Next weekend, the weekend before we go to Venice, you see your sisters, and I'll go off to see Gordon in Somerset and sort out this bloody albatross.
Well, it sounds good to me.
And Dennis agreed, on one condition.
Mm-hmm.
That while we're actually in Venice, neither the word Victoria nor the word Charlotte is mentioned once.
So long as you promise not to mention your albatross.
You have a deal. Now, can you just shift a fraction of an inch so that the light from the window glances off your right breast?
Not if you want me to keep holding the pineapple, no.
No, it's lovely, because it does seem an age since we've got together, just the three of us. And it couldn't be more convenient with Roger away in Harrogate.
And Stuart away in Somerset.
All right, and with me just happening to be free this weekend.
So, there's no one particular on your horizon at the moment, Charlotte.
No one particular, no.
Just the regular horde of slavering admirers. You have to fight off all those desperate men whose passion is so sadly destined to be unrequited.
Vicky, some remarks are just not worth bothering to respond.
Anyone like some more of the creme brulee?
Oh, no, thank you. I have to watch my figure. Roger wouldn't like it if I got fat.
You wouldn't notice.
But Charlotte... No, you have some more.
No, thanks, Anna. I'm cutting down on excess.
Oh, I believe that when it happens.
Vicky, could you be serious for once, please? I'm actually changing my whole approach to life.
Oh?
You see, I've read this book, which is a kind of distillation of all the Eastern religions and philosophies.
All of them?
Yes. And the general conclusion is that human excesses of all kinds should be curbed.
Well, well.
Overindulgence is antithetical to inner peace.
Gosh. Wouldn't like to say that after a couple of drinks.
But you see, you shouldn't have a couple of drinks. You should be moderate in all things. Just a sip of drink, just a few mouthfuls of food, that's all the body needs.
Yeah, but what about the emotional needs? How do you deal with them?
There again, moderation is what you must aspire to. No excess of any kind. You must curb your passions, your anger, your jealousy, your carnality. That's what the book says.
I am constantly amazed, Charlotte, by the variety of excuses you come up with to explain the fact that you haven't got a man around.
That is not what I'm doing, Vicky, darling. I'm introducing my mind to a totally new way of thinking.
And your body to a totally new way of celibacy.
I have you know, since I read this book, the thought of sex just hasn't entered my head.
And when did you read the book?
I finished it last night.
Ah. Oh, well done, Charlotte. You're clearly very committed to this new regime.
Actually, you know, I feel that not thinking about sex has a wonderfully cathartic effect on me, as though, as they go through my mind, all my thoughts have their impurities filtered out.
Like in a sewage farm, you mean?
Don't be trivial, Anna. I was trying to be serious.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Sex used to be so important to me.
Until you finished reading this book last night?
Anna, I mean, you couldn't possibly understand what it meant to me. You've always been something of a secular nun.
I have never been anything of a secular nun.
No, but sex has never figured as largely in your life as it has in mine.
Well, I've certainly talked about it less than you have, yes. how much it's figured in my life, you have no idea.
Oh, Victoria, Anna's just being impossible. You know what I mean, don't you?
You mean you haven't had sex for 3 months?
Well, not exactly. I didn't mean... Yes, you're right.
Join the club.
What are you looking at me like that for? Do you want me to tell you when I last had sex?
Well, we are sisters.
Which I would have thought was a very good reason for not talking about that kind of thing.
But it is interesting.
Yes, interesting for those involved. It's nobody else's business.
Yeah. Oh, go on, Anna. How long is it since you last had sex?
Do quickies count?
I didn't know there was an alternative.
Yes, I think it was agreed by the International Rules Committee in 1957 Sexual Olympics that quickies do count.
Well, in that case... Well, I did drive Stuart to the tube station this morning on his way to Somerset.
Anna!
What?
You didn't do it in the car, did you?
What'd you take me for, Victoria? We waited till we were inside the tube station.
Really?
No, of course we didn't. But we did have a quickie in the hall before we left.
In the hall?
So, the answer to your question is... 11 hours and 17 minutes.
And what would the answer have been if you didn't include quickies?
11 hours and 58 minutes.
Oh, Anna!
I want a divorce.
Why?
The usual reason.
Which of the usual reasons?
I've met someone else whom I want to marry.
Yes, that's a good traditional one.
So... Come on, Claudia, what do you say?
Well, since the marriage never meant very much to me, I see no reason why the divorce should mean very much to me either.
You mean you agree?
Yes, sure, divorce away, tie up the loose ends.
Thank you. Thank you, Claudia, that's the nicest thing you've ever done for me.
Better than anything I did for you on our honeymoon in Venice? Yes, probably. Doesn't say a great deal about our marriage, does it?
Oh, I'm so relieved.
You've actually been worrying about my reaction.
Yes. Once I knew you were going to be in Harrogate.
Well, I was bound to be. I mean, they couldn't do a conference like this without a paper from Dr. Claudia Mullen. I am quite big in the field of genetic modification, Stuart, though, of course, I know nothing I do has ever been of any interest to you.
That's not fair. Anyway, congratulations on your professional success.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should tell you a bit about the woman I want to marry.
No, that is of no interest to me.
Fine. Thank you, Claudia, for everything.
Don't overdo it, Stuart. My lawyer's card is the only thing you have to thank me for.
Yes.
And if that is all, I shall leave you and go and join my friends.
Of course.
Well, Stuart, all the bloody coincidences.
Roger, good evening.
Well, aren't you going to introduce me then, or are the two of you incognito?
Oh, no. No, of course not. This is Roger Franklin, who's...
I'm the husband of a woman whose sister, Stuart, knows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we must be on our way.
You haven't told him who I am.
Oh, no, that's true. This is Dr. Claudia Mullen.
Oh, the Dr. Claudia Mullen? The one who gave the paper this afternoon on beetle-resistant sweet corn?
Yes. Did you enjoy it?
Well, I got involved with some business associates after lunch, and but I'll certainly get a transcript or a cassette. The buzz from people who were there was very positive. They all said it was not an event to be missed.
Though you still managed to?
Yes.
Well... Maybe we should be getting
good
along.
Good Lord, fancy you being Dr. Claudia Mullen. And I thought you were just Stuart's mistress.
I am not Stuart's mistress. I am his wife. And now, if you'll both excuse me, I'm going to join some friends.
Roger.
I'm just trying to work this out. If Claudia's not your mistress, but in fact your wife, then that means Anna must be your mistress.
Don't worry about that. Listen, Roger... There's been nothing going on between me and Claudia.
No, of course there hasn't.
Roger, I'm telling you the absolute truth. I just saw Claudia because I needed to talk to her about our divorce.
Yes, of course you did.
But it's imperative that Anna never finds out that I saw her.
Don't you worry about a thing. Your secret is safe. No one will ever find out any part of it from me.
So who was Stuart with? Oh, come on, Roger, you better tell me.
He was with his ex-wife.
I didn't know he had an ex-wife.
Well, no, he doesn't, actually. She's still his wife.
What?
Not a wife in the technical sense. I mean, they don't sleep together.
A bit like you and me, Roger.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would. Anna's going to be so desolated when she hears this. Just for once, things seem to be going well in her life, and Stuart turns out to be another pathetic two-timing bastard like most other men.
I'm not sure it's technically two-timing, is it? I mean, when there's a wife involved.
There is always a wife involved, and it is always two-timing.
Oh, right.
I just can't think of a way of telling Anna that isn't going to upset her horribly.
I know a way.
What?
Not telling her.
Oh, Roger, don't be ridiculous. I just can't sit round knowing that she's being hurt.
Yes, but at the moment Anna's not being hurt, or at least she doesn't know she's being hurt. So long as that state of affairs continues, she doesn't get hurt.
You are sometimes so stupid, Roger. Are you telling me that if you knew someone was being deceived behind their back, you wouldn't tell them?
No, I wouldn't. Men don't.
Well, women do.
Who are you ringing, darling?
Anna, obviously.
Actually, I did have a vague arrangement to meet a couple of good chaps down at the golf club. If you don't mind, I think I'll just trot off.
Oh, come on, Anna. Answer it.
I'm not proud of what I've done, Anna, but it was necessary. I had to see Claudia face to face.
Why?
It proved that I was strong enough to see her, that I was really over her, that you were the only woman who mattered to me, and you are. Claudia can no longer cast her shadow over any part of my life, my home, my painting, even Venice.
What has Claudia to do with Venice?
Well, nothing. I just, well, you know...
What?
Claudia and I spent our honeymoon in Venice.
I see. Do you remember, a few weeks ago, I joked that your missing luggage had ended up in Venice? It wasn't a joke, was it? It had. When we got to Venice, Claudia would be there.
No. She...
Wielding much more power than her mere presence would ever have given her. Every spoonful of pasta you tasted, every canal bridge you crossed, you'd be saying to yourself, I'm enjoying this much more with Anna than I ever did with Claudia.
And it would be true. I would be enjoying it much more with you.
So I'm a woman, Stuart, not a yardstick. I don't want to end my life in some bad remake of Rebecca, a wispy, nameless creature constantly being measured up against the first Mrs. De Winter.
It wouldn't be like that. Claudia never meant anything to me.
And yet you still went through the whole ritual of marrying her. It doesn't say a lot for your judgment, does it, Stuart?
All right. I made a mistake then, and clearly I made another mistake by going to Harrogate to see her.
Going to see her wasn't the mistake. Not telling me you were going to see her was.
But I didn't want to talk about her.
Built up your tissue of lies just as any shabby little unfaithful husband would. You cast yourself and, by implication, me in a second-rate bedroom fire.
But the point you don't seem to be taking on board, Anna, is that nothing happened. I didn't deceive you.
That nothing happened. You lied to me about where you were going. You lied to me about who you were seeing. You denied that you were ever going to see Claudia again.
But can't you understand, when we were in Harrogate, nothing happened. I didn't go to bed with her.
What are you asking for, Stuart? A medal? Given the scale of the deceit you've already perpetrated, whether or not you actually went to bed with her is a mere detail.
Would you regard it as a mere detail if I had gone to bed with her?
No, of course I wouldn't. For God, all I'm saying, Stuart, is that I like honesty in a relationship. I don't mean total honesty. I'm fully aware of how dangerous that can be. Relationships between men and women only survive with a bit of judicious editing from time to time. The truth, yes, but heaven forbid the whole truth. And that, though, Stuart, is entirely different from full-scale lying.
So, what are you saying, Anna?
I'm saying I can't be in a relationship which includes full-scale lying.
Ah.
Like ours now does.
So, it's over?
Yes, Stuart, it's over.
But
Anna, you and I have got so much.
I know. But sadly, not enough.
Anna, darling, I was so sorry when I heard that Stuart had broken it off with you.
Actually, Charlotte, he didn't. I broke it off with him.
Yes, yes, of course you did. Very good policy, Anna, love.
What?
Keep saying he broke it off with you, and after a time you'll actually believe it. Very therapeutic for the old battered self-esteem.
But I did break it off with him.
Good, yes, that's the way. Oh, I know whereof I speak. I've picked myself up from the wreckage of so many disastrous relationships over the years. I've told you about some of them, but not the half. I didn't want to upset you. The tears I've shed on that very sofa where you're sitting now. And it's not just me, you know. So many of my chums have come to me in exactly your situation, and they come to me because they know I'm a good listener. And they talk and talk and cry their eyes out. The oceans of tears that sofa has seen. You know, I sometimes think I should have had a dehumidifier fitted.
Well, thank you, Charlotte.
And you were so wise to come to me. Victoria, the gamut of whose emotional life runs from Roger at one end to Roger at the other, would be no use to you at all when you're feeling as you do now.
But you've no idea how I feel now.
It's very brave of you to say that, Anna. But the more you talk to me, the more you'll be amazed at the depth of my understanding. You see, I've been there. I've got the emotional T-shirt, not to mention the emotional scars. Your situation with Stuart... it was just like mine with Jeremy. In fact, the more I think about it, the more uncanny the likenesses are. From the start, it just seemed perfect. We were both so good-looking, and our bodies, well, it was like they were the work of the same designer who devoted his entire life's work to making everything fit. And intellectually, there was this spark between us. Jeremy was a director, and from the start, he recognised that in my talent as an actor, he was dealing with something exceptional. Oh, the productions we were planning to do together. He said he'd feel intellectually hungry, actually, intellectually starving, until the moment he saw me give my Cleopatra. And the world was ours for the time.
No Commitments starred Rosemary Leach as Anna, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Angela Thorne as Victoria, with Bill Nye as Roger, Edward D'Souza as Stuart, and Joanna Munro as Claudia. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.